two issues must be settled in your heart if you're going to walk with God. And I would say to you who are here today that do not know Jesus Christ, these two issues would bring you all the fulfillment in life that you long for. The first issue is this. You must know deeply in your heart that God loves you. And the second issue is, you must know deeply in your heart that you truly love God. The Word of God says in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 19, we love because He first loved us. The King James says we love Him because He first loved us. But that's not what the Greek says. The original language says we love because He first loved us. You see, this kind of love, just the human affection that lost people can have. This kind of love is a love that has no strings attached. It's a love that would say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Regardless of how you behave, regardless of what you do, regardless of whether you do what I want you to do or not. I love you. It's a love that can only come from God Himself. And you see, I cannot love like that unless I know deep inside that I am loved like that. This is my wife. Stand up, my dear one. 47 years we've been married. And we don't look that old, I know. But I want to tell you something. I crippled my wife's personality in the early years of our marriage. I crippled her. By demanding that she be what I wanted her to be, do what I wanted her to do, and expressing my displeasure when she didn't. And I almost destroyed her personhood. And then one day God spoke to my heart. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How does Jesus love me? That's how I'm to love her. And one day, and I don't know how to describe this, Brother Tim, just something you said made me know that you would understand this. But one day it was like heaven opened and love was poured out on me from heaven itself. And I broke and I wept. And instantly I saw that I had not loved my wife that way. And I called her to the study. And she came. And when she got to the door, I fell into her arms, broken and weeping and sobbing and asking for her forgiveness because I had not loved her with the kind of love that God has for me. And she reminded me the other day, we were speaking of it, and this has been years and years ago, but she reminded me the other day, the next thing I said was, I did not love those people at my church where I had been pastor prior to that. You see, we love because He first loved us. And only in proportion do I know the love of God can I love with the love of God. our motivation for holy living is intoxication with God's love. When I was a young pastor, I was associate pastor of a church in Roanoke, Virginia. I was in my early 20s, early to mid 20s. And there was a guy that I'd gone to school with named Joe Fitzgerald. We'd gone to junior high school and high school together. I hadn't seen Joe in years. He'd become a drug addict, an alcoholic, stayed stoned and drunk. And I wanted to share Jesus Christ with him, and I would spend hours with Joe. I took him to my home, and one night in the middle of the night, the phone rang, and I talked to him about Jesus Christ, and he called in the middle of the night, and he said, "Jerry, I've met this man named Phil. Would you come down here and talk to him and burn his ears like you burned mine?" And I didn't understand at that time, but what was burning him was the fact that the Spirit of Christ was tormenting those demons that were in him. And I did not know that much about that at that time. And so I spent much time with Joe, trying to share Jesus Christ with him and loving him and caring about him. And I'd go to the jail to see him when he would get picked up again on another drug charge. But one day I had finished work and I had a meeting later that evening, so I didn't go home. And I just knelt down by the chair there in my study and began to pray some. And I had this impression, go see Joe again. So I got up, and he just lived up the street about four blocks. And so I went up the street about four blocks and knocked on the apartment door. He's still living with his mom and dad. Here he was, as old as I, and he was living with his mom and dad. And I knocked on the door, and his mother came to the door, and she opened the door, and she said, "Where have you been?" She said, "I've been waiting on you to come." She had heard me share about Jesus Christ with her son. I had not talked to her much except to greet her. And she came to Christ right there in that apartment that afternoon or that evening. Amen. And I left that city and went someplace else to be a pastor of a church. And she would write us letters, wonderful letters, and she would always sign it. She was so overcome with the grace of God. I believe that woman was saved and filled with the Spirit at the same moment. And she was just overwhelmed with the grace and love of God for her. And she would always sign her letters, "In God's great love and mine." I want to share with you, in the time that remains, six wonderful ways in the New Testament, six wonderful truths about God's love. But let me remind you of a scripture that's found in Psalm 26, verse 3. It says, "For your steadfast love is before my eyes." The New Living Translation says, "For I am constantly aware of your unfailing love." The first wonderful truth we look at that talks about the love of God has already been referred to this morning when Brother Charles prayed, I believe it was. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Who has that scripture for us? I've had the pastor pass out those scriptures and I want you to read them. Okay, Robert, read that for us.
"Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will."
A profound mystery. Before the foundation of the earth, when this building was built, there was a foundation laid. Before there was ever the first particle of sand, God loves you. He knew you. And for reasons we will never understand, he set his love upon you. And you're only his child because he put his love upon you. And if you're here today and you heard that testimony earlier by Brother Mark, I was blessed by that, brother. In your name, Mark, I was so blessed by that. But if you heard that testimony, and somehow down inside your heart was stirred because you want what Brother Mark has found and what these others you've heard in their voices as they prayed, you've heard there's something you don't know. If your heart's been stirred, you can know that God loves you and wants you to be His own. So one of the profoundest mysteries is before the earth was ever formed, somehow in eternity past, God knew me, God knew you, and He set His love upon you. The second scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Who has that one for us? Okay, sir, please. Okay. There's another scripture that goes with that, and that's Romans 5:8, a wonderful verse. Yes, sir, please.
But God showed His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
This is a second profound mystery about the love of God. Not only did He love you before He ever created the world, before He ever laid the foundation of it, before He ever spoke the first molecule into existence, but here we are as human beings who in Adam sinned against God, chose our own way, and we who've been born since then have chosen our own way, and we have sinned against God. And yet amazing, amazing, amazing grace, God has loved us in spite of our sin. And as Brother Mark said, it doesn't matter what you've done. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, He was proof of the love of God for you. And every sin you've ever committed, every sin every human being has ever committed, was put on Jesus Christ. And there hanging on the cross, He bore the full wrath of His Father for your sins and for mine. And it says God proved His love for us. And that while we were shaking our fist in the face of God and going our own way, He says to me and He says to you, I love you. John 17, verse 23. Yes, sir. Please stand up if you will and read that if you can.
I in them and you in me, that they may be comforted through one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me.
The third wonderful truth about the love of God is the fact that the Father loves you as much as He loves His Son. I can't comprehend that. If I were to stand beside Jesus Christ before the Father, He would say, I love you, Jerry, as much as I love Jesus Christ, my Son. And that's why Paul would write that we can never know the depth and breadth and length and the height of it. I can't comprehend that. I have a son who's in his 40s. He's a businessman, has his own company, has a heart for missions. He knows doctrinally about the love of God. He has a heart and compassion for lost people and for missions. But he has said, I want to swim in the river of God's love. I don't want to just taste it. I want to swim in it. And just last Sunday in our church service, he sat there with his handkerchief. He cried practically the whole time. He came to the end of the time and he said to the church, he said, I said to you, I just didn't want to have a sip of God's love. I wanted a river to swim in. And he said, I want you to know that today I have swam in the river of God's love. The New Living Translation translates it this way, I in them and you in me, all being perfected into one. Then the world will know that you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Dear ones, God loves you with all that he is. There's another wonderful verse. It's John 16, verse 27. Who has that for us? Thank you, sir. The Father himself loves you. There are different words in the Greek language for love. If I remember correctly, there are about four different words for love. We say, I love mom, I love apple pie, I love a good ball game. Same word. Very limited language is English. But in Greek, they could say it different ways. There are two Greek words that are used, some think interchangeably. I don't think they're used interchangeably because of the way they're used. But there's the word agape or agapao, and there's the word philos or phileo. When it talks about brotherly love, that's the word that's used, is phileo. It's a tender affection. This is the only place this happens in the New Testament, but in this verse, what Jesus is saying is that the Father loves you with tender affection. When I saw Norm the other day, it's been a long time since I've seen Norm. He's a dear brother I've known for years and years. So when I saw him, I hugged him. And later in the kitchen, when we were getting ready for dinner or something, I just was so thankful and conscious of being with Norm again. And I just walked over and just hugged him. Because he's like a son to me. That's tender affection. It just welled up inside of me. I couldn't help it. And I just wanted to hug him. The Father loves you that way. He doesn't just love you from a distance. He just doesn't love you and sacrifice Jesus Christ for you, although that would be enough in of itself. But the Father loves you with tender affection.
Let it roll over you.
Psalm 149, verse 4 says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Some Christians live with the attitude that God is a policeman. And he's just waiting for us to step out of line, do something wrong, correct us. And that's not the way it is at all. It was the Pharisees that were uncomfortable in the presence of Jesus. It was not the sinner. You think about the woman that had the bad reputation who came to that house where the Pharisee had Jesus for dinner, and there they were around the table reclining. They laid down to eat. I always thought that was a better idea. They laid down to eat. And she came around and she let her hair down, which a woman would never do in public. And she wept and washed his feet with her tears and dried it with her hair. She was not uncomfortable in his presence because she knew she was loved and accepted and forgiven just like she was. John 15, verse 9. Who has that one? John 15, verse 9. Pastor Tim, read that for us, please, sir.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love.
Not only does the Father love you as much as He loves His Son, but the Son, Jesus Christ, loves you as much as the Father loves Him. That's infinite. And then the fourth wonderful truth about the love of God is God loves you with an unshakable and unchangeable love. This is not like human love. If somebody hurts us, we withhold love from them. God's not like that. Norm, read for us that scripture that I gave to you, Romans 8, 31 through 39. Just listen to it as Norm reads it.
What shall we say to these things? God is for us, who is against us. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ. It's he who died. Yes. Rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of God? For the love of Christ. Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
I began by saying the two issues must be settled in your heart if you're going to walk with God. The first being knowing deeply in your heart that God loves you, and secondly, knowing deeply in your heart that you love God. You see, in that passage, it indicates quite clearly that what takes us through the tribulation or the peril or the sword is knowing that God loves us. And we do go through difficulties and hardships and pain and disappointment and sorrow. We do go through that. But in those times, I need to know, in spite of that, it has not changed God's love. There's nothing that says God loves me less. But His love is unshakable and unchangeable. And that somehow in the midst of this sorrow and disappointment and heartache and pain, He is using this for my highest good. There is not one thing, not one thing in your life that God has not purposed to use for your eternal good. It doesn't always feel good to me. It doesn't always look good to me. It doesn't always make sense to me. But from God's vantage point, He is saying, my child, in my infinite, eternal, and unchangeable love, I'm doing this for your eternal good. That's why I need to know inside, steadfastly, sure and true, God loves me like He loves His Son. Jesus loves me like the Father loves Him. That's got to be a settled issue in my heart. And then we come to the sixth and final truth about the love of God. And this is found in John 14, 21. Who has that for us? Please, Charles.
Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him.
And then Romans 5, verse 5.
Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us.
I want you to listen very carefully. We live in a day in America of correct doctrine for certain churches. But we're very low when it comes to experience. Your pastor poured out his soul before the Lord. And in his prayer, he prayed about what we see in the book of Acts. You have to know, when you look at church life today and you read the book of Acts, we're not even close. Why? I think one reason is we've let certain groups make us afraid of the work of the Holy Spirit. And yet you cannot explain the life of Jesus Christ all the way from His birth to His enthronement apart from the Holy Spirit. You cannot explain the early church apart from the Holy Spirit. You cannot explain revivals in the church apart from the Holy Spirit. You cannot explain the life of Charles G. Finney apart from the Holy Spirit, or John and Charles Wesley, or George Whitfield. You cannot explain it and leave out the person of the Holy Spirit. We must not be afraid of the free, wonderful operation of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to know the truth that He loves us because of the cross. He wants us to know the truth of His love because He tells us. But He also wants us to know the truth of His love because He embraces us from heaven and we experience it. You see, I have a precious wife and we love each other dearly. And there are times she tells me, Jerry, I love you. And I know she means it. And then there are times she gives me gifts or bakes apple pie for me. And that tells me she loves me. But then there are times when she wraps her arm around me and holds me. And I experience it. The Father wants you to know because He tells you. And the Father wants you to know because He's given wonderful gifts to you. But the Father wants you to know by embracing you. And there are myriads of Christians who have never known what it means to be embraced by the love of God from heaven. Thomas Goodwin was an old Puritan. His writings are still in print. And Thomas Goodwin used a wonderful illustration. He said it's like this. He said a father is walking with his son down the pathway. And the son walks along holding the hand of his dad, knowing that his father loves him. But all of a sudden on the pathway, the father stops. And he picks his son up in his arms. And he pulls him close and he holds him. And then the son knows the love by experience. He feels it in the embrace of his father. The Holy Spirit has been given. A person just like Jesus. To reveal Jesus Christ to us. So that He's here, present, real, now. When you and I stand in His presence, we're going to be absolutely overwhelmed with the ocean of love that flows from His personhood. He wants us to have foretastes of heaven now. And what Paul wrote in Romans 5, verse 5, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. He was writing that at a time when the Holy Spirit was operating so freely and so powerfully in the church, and they experienced the love of God inside. The word poured out there means profusely. They lived in a time when the Holy Spirit was poured out into their hearts profusely, so that it wasn't just God loves you because His Word says it. It wasn't just God loves you because Jesus died for you. But God loves you, and they felt the embrace of the Father from heaven by the Holy Spirit in their heart and their soul. And that's what gives you the anchor in life to go through what you must go through. And that's the only thing, dear ones, that I know of that will so change your heart and life that that kind of love will flow from you to others. I'm aware that there are those here who did not have good fathers. My wife grew up with an alcoholic father. I had a wonderful dad. My dad lived to the age of 86. He just died about 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago. I was an only child. My dad prayed for me. He gave me gifts of clothes. There was no doubt in my mind that he loved me. His dad did not love him. So my dad was dying of cancer, stomach cancer. He had been a 6-foot robust man. He had shrunk down to just above skin and bones. And I knew it was time to say goodbye to him. And we'd made this trip to Virginia to spend 2 or 3 weeks there in his final days. And I went to his room one night. We talked about heaven. We listened to music together. We talked about heaven. My dad was a musician. And I said to him, I said, Dad, you're hearing music in heaven like you've never heard before. But I went. I know it's time to say goodbye to him. I'd have bent over his hospital bed and put my arms around that frail body and hugged him. And he put his face, his arms around my neck and put his face right against mine. Kept patting me on the back. And he did something that my dad did not often do. But he kissed me multiple times on the cheek. And I said to him, I said, Dad, I love you. And I'm going to miss you. And he patted me on the back and kissed me on the cheek multiple times. And he says, Son, I love you. I love you. I love you. Now let me ask you a question. Does God love you less than my dad loved me? No. 1,000 times no. My dad was a sinful human being just like I am, but he loved me so much and so dearly and so deeply. But 1,000 times upon 1,000s of times, God loves you that way. And God wants to put his arms around you and say, my child, I love you. I love you. I love you. With all that I am, with all that I have, my dear child, I love you. I wonder, is your heart open for that love? Could you receive that love? You say, but I'm not worthy. Of course you're not. None of us are. This is the incredible thing. And God wants you just to open your heart to Him. And accept it. And enjoy it. And as my son said, swim in it.